Fuqua, is that a real French term or just a name that you made up?
It's kind of like a fuck you, but don't tell anybody that.
I thought it was. That's what I was thinking. Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes business sexy again.
I'm Gina Tremarco, sales trainer and consultant at Pivoton Results and founder of Carolina Improv.
And I'm Rachel Pitts, the singing lender and mommy and wifey and all the things.
All the things. Keith's not here with us today, but you know what? We had another Keith proxy. Scott Ferguson. If Keith ever, you know, goes to Costa Rica without technology for several months, I think Scott would be a good fill-in. What do you think?
He definitely has the vibe and he's got the know-how, as you guys will see.
He is definitely, he's not a woman your mother warned you about, but he is a man your mother warned you about. I love his definition for that. And I think the Warners will get a kick out of it.
Story is fascinating.
Oh my God, his story. Like, I just knew the part about him being homeless. That was it. I did not know the rest of his intense story. I'm like, I almost started crying.
He's smart enough not to give you all the goods at once. That was a play, man.
I know. He has been playing me.
No, seriously, guys, he's very intelligent. Tell us more about him, Gina.
Oh yeah, let's talk more about him. Hold on, let me give you.
Oh,
just
good Lord, give you not quick, organized at
no,
all.
I am organized. I just had it on the wrong document. So Scott is the host of the Time to Shine podcast, which I got to be a guest on, which is super cool because he shares ideas, which he calls knowledge nuggets, to help individuals and teams to level up both in business and personal. He's a veteran of the United States Navy with multiple deployments to Iraq, Afghanistan, and Somalia. And I forgot to say thank you for your service, sir. So I'm saying thank you here. He is a true go-giver. He lives down the street from Bob Berg, by the way. He loves the beach, fitness, yoga, and volunteering. That's just a little bit of a highlight of him. Some of his specialties, he will help you through tough times in the real estate world, specializing in foreclosure, short sales, and helping people achieve a wealth through real estate. So I knew that Rachel would get into him because of his intense background in real estate. But he is so much more than that. He's going to walk us through how he got through the recession of 2008 to 2009 to prepare him to actually get through this pandemic without too much financial struggle, because he learned from the past. So he shares a lot of knowledge nuggets with us on this episode. And we get him to stick around for the bonus show, which you can find on our new Patreon page at patreon.com/Warners. You have to subscribe for that extra footage. But we had him walk us through affiliate marketing and how to flex your hustle muscle. That is my new favorite phrase.
Which he said twice is not his phrase. It's Lewis
Howell's
phrase.
That's right. It is. It is. So yeah, I'm happy he's.
But you know, everything great is recycled. So there you go.
Exactly. So
now you can recycle it.
So this is a super awesome episode, we think. And we think we'll be seeing a little bit more of Scott in the future. So sit back and enjoy this episode with us, ladies, and Scott Ferguson. Hey, Scott, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About.
So glad to be here, ladies.
You have been warned, right?
I have been.
And you still chose to come on the show.
Coming on. Got to do it.
What enticed you into being with two women your mother warned you about?
To be kind of like the step outside of my... No, I fit in right with you guys. So I'm like, I'm that guy that your mom warned you about. So it's all good. Fit right in. Found my click.
I like that. You're the man my mother warned me about. And I didn't listen to my mother ever.
Clearly, I didn't either.
So I always got myself in trouble with men like you.
Good deal.
I mean, that's
but it was fun though, right?
Always fun.
Super fun.
So what would you, how would you define a woman your mother warned you about?
Somebody that did not do everything I told her to do. Just kidding. No. My mom was so easy. She always trusts my judgment. Like she had her own, you know, her own judging. You know, unfortunately, she passed away in September, but she was the biggest passive aggressive judgmental person ever. Like she'll never do it, but she'll just say things like off, you know, the cuff things. And with a smile on her face, and I love her for it because that was just her. But, you know, she never really warned me too much about women. She said, you know, if you're going to have fun, wrap it up. You know, that was what she said. So I guess a woman that didn't have make that a mandatory thing, then that would be part of it. So I'm glad we're unfiltered here because I can talk candidly. It's true.
You know, the thing about our show is that a lot of stuff that we say is stuff that people are a little bit afraid to say. So, yeah. It's true, though. I mean, legit. Yeah. Guys
don't want to wrap it up,
but they don't want to.
They don't want to.
For sure.
You know,
if they can get away with it, they will.
I have a duality in life where I don't give a shit what anyone thinks about me as long as I'm not hurting them or disrespecting them in any way. And then two, part of that duality is I want to serve as many people as I can. So people aren't going to like me. I'm the person that will say shit, do stuff that nobody else will do, but I'll deal with the repercussions later as long as I'm not hurting somebody. You know, I'm just like, I don't give a shit. That's why I've always been, you know, getting after life. And it all goes way back to my past. I mean, I had a crazy past. So it was like, I just don't care. As long as I'm not disrespecting you and you guys drop the first fuck, so I can say fuck all I want.
take us back to your crazy history a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your backstory on our little notes. And just tell us a little bit about your history and all the interesting stuff that got you where you are.
Yeah, I got I'll preface this, like Montel Williams back in the 90s had a big talk show. Jenny Jones had a big talk show. Sally, Jesse, Raphael, they all reached out to me for my story. I have documentation of all that. And basically, I was born in the Philippines during the Vietnam War in 1972. And they, my biological father was killed in Vietnam. So I was going to be a bastard child and I was going to be a male. And back, you know, obviously a male, but back then they were giving up, they were taking the male bastard babies from their moms. Because if you see how big I got, you would have tens of thousands of babies. This was their thought process back then. Tens of thousands of babies growing up and actually physically taking over the country, the Philippines, because they're little people. So my mom, and they were taking the babies and shipping them to Spain. And really nobody even knows to this day what they were doing with those babies. So my mom, my biological mother, gave me to an Air Force couple. They were stationed there, and then they brought me back to the United States. And the woman who's going to adopt me, her dad dies. She goes schizophrenic, can't keep me. They put me in an orphanage till I was 2 and a half. And so I got smuggled literally to Cincinnati, Ohio, from California to Cincinnati, Ohio. And then my father, who I call my father now, my adoptive father, my adoptive mother, came to Cincinnati and they went to take me, and they got arrested and spent 2 nights in the jail because there was a big, you know, human trafficking of babies or whatever back then. So they got out of jail and then they went through a whole rigmarole and they had finally adopted me by the time I was like six. So I was going in and out of child custody into my mom and dad's place. So through kindergarten, all that other jazz. And then they decided to be super heavy drinkers, get divorced. I went and lived with this uncle who I didn't even know, but he was a super strict drill instructor kind of guy. And so I just excelled in sports, and that was my escape. Well, I got offered scholarships, but they were like, yeah, 1.0 is not going to really work. 8-point average isn't going to really work. So I ended
up... Take notes, kids.
Yeah, that's not going to work. So I ended up going in the service, the military, and made my family there fantastic. A bunch of deployments to, you know, during the Persian Gulf War, Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, did all the deeds there. And then I started in the real estate business and I excelled. In 1998, I started in the real estate business. I excelled in it, bought a bunch of investment properties, this, that, the other thing. And so I always wanted to give back. And I, my motto at Time to Shine today is like, we don't want to have anyone feel like they have no one. Like, it comes from my abandonment background. So that's where I try to put anybody that needs something in touch with the right person, you know, that whether if I can help them, which I probably can't because I don't have the, you know, doctorate hanging on my wall, but I can find someone that can help people. So I have a passion for that. And I, this is the kicker though. I got this mole on like the back of my calf and I was like, I don't know about that. So I ended up hiring my buddy who I went to, it was in the Navy with, who's a private investigator. And he found, he's like, dude, you have like 8 brothers and sisters that live in Jersey. And one of them is a twin. So my mom kept Jovi, my twin, and gave me up basically to save my life. And my mom had passed away in 1998, so I never met her. And so I went to Jersey to visit them for the first time. This was 2003. And like I sat down with Jovi, so we started like talking, and they owned a Filipino restaurant in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And I'm like, so what do you do? And she's like, I'm in real estate. So it's like we're freaking realtors living across. So yeah, so my story is deep. It's can be all be documented. And I know it sounds like off the cuff, but it's all documented. And but I was reached out by people, and I just kind of turned that into, I mean, in real estate, which you know, Rachel, like we work with people's probably their biggest investment they're ever going to make in their life. So there's a lot of emotion that's attached to that, right? So mm-hmm. with my background, I was able to handle that emotion and disconnect the emotion. So I was able to provide the service. But then Time to Shine kind of grew as like, I want to help so many more people, period. You know, that's my passion. It's my goal. So people don't have to go through, whether it's like, you know, CAP, children awaiting parents. You know, I'm really big. I'm really, it's one of my favorite charities because there's kids that are like 7, 8, 10, 12 years old. They might be mentally retarded. They might have major problems, but they're living at places and stuff. So I'm really, really find homes and stuff for them to excel into. So my story is different. It's unique. And it's, and so I just wanted to share it and get it out, you know, to the world. And that's what I do with Time to Shine today. So that's my long-winded version.
That's a lot of stuff to go through.
I mean, I didn't know any of that, Rachel, by the way, when I said he had a good backstory. I mean, I knew like a fraction, like a 100th.
That's insanity.
100th of his story is what I knew. So I had no idea. Like that blows me away.
Just saved it. All made up. No, but it's cool. And like I said, I was approached by certain people, you know, to share. I was just like, yeah, I'm not ready to share it when I was like in my 20s and right. stuff like that. And even 30s.
Well, and you don't want to take your personal story and be kind of like a monkey on display either. Right. Like right. for that type of thing. Like yeah, it's better dad, what you're doing now.
My dad, you know, who is like my best friend, you know, we don't have anything in common because he's like a redneck from Alabama. And I say that affectionately. I mean, he grew up picking cotton. He moved to the industrial north to work for General Motors, you know, then moved right back to Alabama. He lives on the side of Lookout Mountain by himself. Nearest neighbor's like 3 miles away. We have nothing in common, but he's still like my best friend, you know, in a sense, like we talk like every other day. We shoot the shit. He's not judgmental or nothing. So it built a solid bond between him and I told him, I'm like, I think I'm going to start telling my story. He's like, that's good.
Oh my God. He goes,
people that were in Vietnam like him, because he saw the shit in Nam and he was a major alcoholic. And that was one of the reasons why he couldn't like raise me the right way. He goes, people need to hear that people from Nam and those boys that are coming back in the military need that help. Mm-hmm. You know, and so you don't, they don't have, their kids don't have to go through what you went through, but he's still a hard ass. Like he's still like emotionally detached from stuff. But, you know, we sat in rocking chairs literally on his front porch of his log cabin. And we had the discussion of, hey, you know, I want to share the stories. I get it out there. He goes, I think, you know, I'd be proud if you did.
You know, there's a movie that my husband and I just watched, and I wish I remember the name of it. I'll have to look back. And it's about one of the worst battles in the Vietnam War, and this and it's a true based on a true story, and the guy, he was like a medic that was jumped into the fray, and the whole thing was basically the battle to get this guy a Purple Heart, mm-hmm. believe. Or sorry.
Oh, I've heard
Medal
about
of Honor,
this.
Medal of Honor. Medal of Honor.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard. So, I haven't saw
and
it
what's
yet,
really, it, well, just be forewarned that the end is like a Lifetime movie. And we were like, this is pretty good. And then at the end, we're like, oh God.
That sucks.
it's just very Lifetime movie-ish instead yeah. of, I mean, it's supposed to be uplifting. And it's right. a star-studded cast. Samuel mm-hmm. L. Jackson's in there and yeah. Harris and stuff. But what's really fascinating about it is, to your point, Scott, is that it addresses the issue that these guys were over there dealing with some really terrifying shit. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking the guys like pull other dead bodies on top of them to protect mm-hmm. themselves from getting killed. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and then they come home to be spit upon.
Yeah.
Because of what was going on right. here at home.
Yeah.
And it gives me chills. And it's just a disconnect that people, I can't imagine. I would never want to have to do anything in the military because I would be terrified and I would die quickly because I'm a little wimp. So I have great respect for any men and women yeah. that join the military. But like in that scenario, it was really, really rough for,
dude,
for
people. My dad, when I came back from my first tour, you know, I was like a freaking hero, man. They had like restaurants, hotels, they were just giving away free stuff to us, you know, just whatever we wanted, we got. When my dad, like you said, he got spit on, baby killer, you know, stuff like that. And they mm-hmm. just were never really appreciated. It's not their fault. They were following orders, you know, from what they were supposed to do. And when you were over there, because I was trained because of what I did in the military, I was trained by a lot of the guys from NOM. You know, so right. it was like their just demeanor and everything. It was just, you know, I don't know. It's eerie. It's eerie.
That movie is called The Last Full Measure.
Yeah.
Yep. What it's called. And it's there's a lot of good to it, but a lifetime mm-hmm. ending. So, you know.
Right.
So how do you think that your backstory and your military background has shaped you for who you are today as a person and in business?
It made me, because I think I said that like sports was kind of my savior. I always looked for coaches and mentors no matter what. So, which was luckily I had that when I was younger. So when I started, you know, my old man, my dad would be like, go get help. So mentally I went to mental hygiene at the VA and got help. And I get help. I see somebody every month, even to this day. With that background, it just made sure that I got my ask in gear. You know, I'm always asking for people that are going to know more than me. So one, I won't feel alone in a sense. And two, I can pay it forward to other people. So I'm not afraid to ask for help. And that comes, I think, from sports because, you know, I excelled. So I had a lot of coaches that were like, okay, you need to talk to this person. They put me with the right person for whatever, whether it was wrestling or baseball, and got me with the right people. So with that background, Gina, that's what kind of helped, like kind of pushed me forward. Now, there's been dark times in my life, don't get me wrong. Luckily, never a time like my little brother took his life when, you know, he came back, you know, from, you know, Iraq. He was 8 years after me, but he couldn't deal, you know, which sucks. So it's like, I don't want anybody, you know, anyone to feel like they have no one. So it's huge from like my upbringing and my background. Mm. You know, I want stuff to, want to help, period.
That's probably coming up a lot for people in the world we're living in today. We're still kind of clawing our way out of the COVID-19 mm-hmm. pandemic. And there's people out there that probably do feel like they have no one.
Yeah. They do.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah. You know, I'm friends with, because I'm really deep kind of into the martial arts here in South Florida. And I know all the owners and stuff like that. And they're like they're holding like basically speakeasies, like workouts. They're like putting the blinds up in front, bringing in people in the back door because like the workouts they're going through with this jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai or whatever, or even personal trainers are going to people's houses, it keeps the needle out of the arm. It keeps the gun out of the mouth for some people, you know, it just does because they got addicted to that. And then it was just ripped away with really nothing else without, which I understand why it was because, you know, cause we're all sheep and we're going to do what we're told. I'm kidding. But no, seriously, it was ripped away for them without a resource to go to. You know, it's like people were there to fend for themselves. And a lot of people, the way they fend themselves, that needle in the arm, you know, the bottle in their hand. So mm-hmm. me growing up around the alcohol, I don't like, I indulge and I have some fun, but I don't take it to the extent where there, but there's people that rely on it, you know, and that's, you know, my good friend that lives next door owns the biggest liquor store chain here in South Florida. He's like, man, I've never made more money.
I bet.
You know, so I don't know if I answered a question. I just went on another tangent. I apologize.
But we love that about you. You fit in so well. You know, if we ever need a substitute Keith, I think Scott could be a fill-in.
He is right now. So
where is
I'm Keith? Interested in you are in real estate and have had great success in there. Mm-hmm. And in our notes, says that you haven't struggled too much through this pandemic because of what you learned in the 2008-9 recession. So tell us about what you learned and how you learned it and how it's helped you right now.
Thanks for asking that. In 2003, and I can proof this all up, literally in real estate, I made over $3 million cash in commissions. I had a full team, 600 and some deals. I made it, and I made so much bank. I didn't even know. Again, I was raised by a father who worked on the line at General Motors. So I had no identity of what to do with money except for spend it. You know, my dad would hit, he'd come home. He'd be like, oh, I bought these lottery tickets. We're going to hit big tonight. It's like, he never had that. And my dad's giving me permission to talk about this. I mean, he was that. He went from an alcohol addiction to addiction of spending so much money on lottery. And
And by the way, I've seen the proof because he has shown me his IRS bill from then.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's right. I did. I share it with people I trust. Thank you for bringing it up now, not to say you had shared it. So I appreciate that. So I made a lot of money, and I was raised in the financial world by Jewish people in Detroit, which is the second biggest, you know, Jewish population in the United States. Yeah. And they took me under their wing and they taught me, but they were like, Fergie, you've got to back down there. Watch me pull up an SL5 one day, Range Rover the next, building a big house, having all this stuff, right? Because I'm that guy. And they're like, you got to like buckle down rainy day. And like, I was talking to people that were like my age, like, man, we're writing deals. You have a heartbeat. You have, you know, you tell me you make 100,000 a year, you know, no doc, no income loans. So I'll be like, ah, which you know, Rachel, you know, the ninja loans, no income, no job. It's like, yeah. So, but of course, I'm standing there at the gym and I look up and I see how Bear Stearns is folding. And I'm like, so I called my assistant. I'm like, Rachel, like, how many deals are being underwritten by Bear? You know, and she's like, we got like 25. And I'm like, shit. So then everything dies. Like, long story short, I'm gone. My brother kills himself. I'm like sitting there going, shit. And so I walked into my broker's office. And she was like, well, I got some bad news. You need to move out of your corner office. We're moving someone else in. It was a woman, super nice lady, Candace. She's fantastic. And I'm like, oh, you're moving me out. What have you done for me lately kind of thing, you know? But I looked down, and she was reading this article about short sales. And I looked behind her, and there's a book by Gary Keller called Shift. So I looked back, Shift, short sales, Shift, short sales. I was like, huh. Maybe I should start doing short sales. So I went out and talked to Candace, and she's like, please don't be mad. I'm like, no. She's like, she gave me like two deals. She's like, can you sell these two people homes? Pay me 10%. So I did it. So I put a little money in my pocket, and I approached a friend of mine, Jason Childs. If you look him up, he's one of the best short sale negotiators in the United States with the short sales group. And I'm like, Jay, man, what's up with the short sales? He's like, motherfucker, I've been trying to tell you about this for like past 2 years. Shit's going to drop. He goes, you need to hit up all your people that are underwater and that have dual income, you know, husband and wife work underwater in their homes. So I hit up everyone that I knew. And so I was able to have them purchase a new house, a bigger house, because the amounts were cheaper. And I'd go back and have Jason negotiate the short sale. So I was double dipping, sometimes triple dipping every transaction, meaning I found them a house, which is my 3% on that end. And then I was listing a house. And when Obama forced everybody at the time to pay 6% real estate commission on short sales. So I was making at least 3 on selling. And if I found the buyer for the house, it was another 3. So I closed over 100 of those deals. But the journey that I told to Gina about is that I had no place to live when I lost everything. and like literally no place. I had family members, but I was driving the SL5, the range, and I was so cool. It was my pride wouldn't let me reach out and ask for the place to stay. You know, I had a dog. And so one of my clients is like, hey, we're moving to Florida. Fuck Michigan. We're going to Florida. And we want you to short sale our house. So I literally lived in their house the whole short sale process, which was like 3 months. Mm-hmm. So I lived in there and then I started making commissions and then built my way back. But I learned from that and pulled it forward. And I always kept a little bit of a nest egg, but I'm always looking for pivots, like you guys call it. Back then it was called shifting. I'm always looking for shift and pivots. I don't change my business model, but I'm always prepared now. So that's why I was able to, when this COVID hit, I mean, Rachel, you're in the business. I mean, if this was to go on 4 or 5 more months, I would be sunk. I mean, I'm sorry. I would be like, my real estate side of my business would be sunk. You know, I just don't know. I would probably stay afloat and tread water, but it wouldn't be like I'm doing now at all.
Well, it's just unpredictable of what's going to happen coming up. You know, the trickle down effect, you know, it's not the same as it was because, like you mentioned, the ninja loans that were happening. When you were talking about that, I was thinking of there's a movie called the Big Short, and yeah. They have those mortgage brokers in Florida. They're like, they're just like snort coke drinking and like they're just killing it because they don't care. You know, oh, you pick strawberries for a living and make $14,000. Here's your loan for $500,000. You know, like all that shit.
And their yield spread they were making was like 3.8% on the back end. So they would put somebody in for a point and a half, and then they're making 4 or 5 points a loan, and loan officers don't make that.
No, and not anymore. Everything's so different. And that's really a great point. Like with what's happening in 2020 right now is not going to be the same as it was in 2008, 2009, because of 2008, 2009, there's so much regulation in the mortgage industry now that it's like we have to check and double check and double check and double check everything right now today, and verification of employment, especially through COVID, and everything's a lot tighter. But what will happen in the real estate industry with COVID? It remains to be seen. It's really unpredictable.
I think it remains to be seen for every industry.
Yeah, agree. Right.
Yeah, every 100%. Industry. And I hope like you're telling concerts. People don't go into forbearance, Rachel, because they're going to attack that shit on the back.
That could be a whole nother podcast. And I've had discussions with people because I'm looking at it right now for one borrower that, and this was before COVID, they had a realtor. Now, this will make you laugh. So they had a realtor tell them to not pay their mortgage for a year because they wanted to be able to short sell their house.
Wow. If this was 2009 or 10, I said that to people all the time, you know, because I was being able to get release of deficiency. Now I would never tell anybody.
No. So it's really screwed them up. And they're just kind of scratching their head like, well, what do you mean this is bad? I'm like, you can't just not pay your mortgage for a year and think things are cool. And that's the part that is a little bit scary for someone like me, knowing what I know with people going into forbearance. It's a real bad idea because you cannot get a mortgage or a loan modification for 12 months if you're late on your mortgage. Maybe they'll change some guidelines on that. But if you've got, I have a very, very qualified borrower with great income. He was late on one mortgage payment on one of his properties, and his credit is in the shitter. And we can't do a thing for him right now. If you don't pay your mortgage, even if you're forced into forbearance, you're screwed for 12 months
minimum, right?
From the time you start paying again. Minimum, really 18.
And you have to pay that back, right?
And it depends. I've told anybody who asked me about it because they were asking me about it on day one. And I said, this is my advice to you for different reasons. I had, we had some financial problems, my ex and I, let's just call it that. And I did all the paperwork to get us mortgage assistance. And they basically kind of put it in forbearance and I'd pay like a little fee. Well, they sold the loan. And when they sold the loan to the next servicer, it appeared we were behind. So then they went into foreclosure process basis. Just get it in writing. All of them are not doing that. Get it in writing what the terms are, because there's either you're paying at the end of the 3 or 4 months, the balloon, you're paying at the end of the mortgage, the balloon, or they're just deferring it, which sounds great, but there's still a down. It's not free. It's not free.
Yeah. And then they look, if they're trying to refi, that can hurt them, right? I mean,
you can't refi either. Yeah. You won't be able to refi if you aren't paying your mortgage. It's as simple as that, no matter what the reason is. And people have screenshotted Google the CARES Act to me. And I'm like, when I pull your credit, if you didn't pay your mortgage on time, not happening. Affiliate marketing. talk to me about this because I just started Genius Marketing Impact Academy, which I started doing because I wanted to learn about Instagram, but then they're smart enough to say, hey, let's figure
right.
it out. And they started talking about affiliate marketing and how you can get into that. So tell me how you got into it and what's your experiences with it?
The affiliate marketing came about in like, even when I was doing pretty good in real estate, I would write articles about stuff and then offer something for sale within the article. And back then there was a site called eZine, E-Z-I-N-E, and Google loved them. So if you wrote good content, Google would drive, people were searching for something, they would drive them to the site and they read the article. If they liked it and there's a product to buy, they'd buy it. So I started that. So that's affiliate marketing. Basically, anybody that doesn't know is that someone has a product, you sell the product for them, they pay you a commission. That's an affiliate commission. It's kind of like real estate. You know, you're using another, but somebody else's brand, you're selling something, you're getting a commission. It's an affiliate commission basically. Yeah. So with Time to Shine Today, it kind of came about is like, again, I don't want anyone to feel like they have no one. And so I get products from companies that help them level up either their health, their wealth, or their mindset. And so I have products that I had to reach out to companies and say, hey, can I market your product? And they say, yeah, sure. And we'll pay you like 20%. So if it's a $100 product, I make $20. And so I would start selling the hell out of products for them through my list. I would build lists. And my list started on Time to Shine Today. Actually, it started on my website was Healthy Wealth Today at one time. But Google seemed to hate health and wealth in my URL. So I switched it and I hired a company to switch everything from Healthy Wealth and put it in Time to Shine Today seamlessly. So it's like it almost never went anywhere. The only people I had to talk to about it was the people on my list. So the biggest thing about affiliate marketing is you have to start building a list. And I do that through a couple different ways. Through one of the ways is called solo ads. And what it is like, Rachel, if you have a million email subscribers just to you looking to make money online, I give you a landing page and say, listen, I need you to send out an email to your list with this landing page. And the landing page just says, hey, if you want to learn how to make money online, blah, blah, blah. It's a lot more than that because I had an NLP neuro-linguistic programmer write the actual landing page for me.
Nice.
To which gets people to click. I'll show it to you in a little bit if you want to see it. But basically, I give that to you. You have the million subscribers. I'm like, listen, I want 100 clicks to this landing page, meaning you will keep sending email out to all your subscribers until 100 people click on that. Now, not all 100 people are going to opt into the landing page. Mm-hmm. But what happens is you'll send it out. Someone will click. Oh, they like it because, again, the way it's written, the way it's structured. And then they give me their email. I don't even ask for their name. They give me their email. Then they automatically go on a 50-day this is how you build a website. This is how you get your hosting. This is how you blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. Everything is there. It's an email a day for 50 days. And then I start to drip into that list the products that I get from other companies for leveling up their health, wealth, or mindset. See what I'm saying? So I get their products and I put it out to them. And they might buy it. Someone's really into real estate investing. So I'll segment a whole part of my list into real estate investing. And someone has a course. They say, Ferg, we want you to market to your list and we'll pay you such and such. So that's really affiliate marketing. Mm-hmm. So I do that. Now I have companies. I have a whole room over here full of swag that I've got to get through and do product reviews. And if I like it enough, put it out to my list. And then, I mean, there's probably $1 million worth of commissions in there. You know, it's just,
are you familiar with JVZoo?
JVZoo was JVZoo, ClickBank, and Warrior Plus is who I started with. I would find a product on JVZoo, like a $10 product, because what happens is all the people that have products within JVZoo, it's like a $10 product, and they pay you 100%. So if I sell that product and it's $10, I make $10. Now, what's nice about JVZoo is, like, again, Rachel, let's say you had the product. You have this product called Radical Edge, right? This is a product, right? This is something that I've got to do here in a little bit. So Radical Edge, you have this product. You're going to sell it for $10 and you're going to give them a little bit of information, but then, hey, you want a personal Skype or Zoom with Rachel. Hey, you want this, you want that. And they have a funnel that they sell. So this might be $10 and the next thing's $39.99. Next thing's $99. Then they have a membership for $47 a month. Well, guess what? As an affiliate marketer, because I sent them to you, not only do I get the $10 for the book, that $39.99, I get $20. That $97, I get $50. That monthly $49.99, I get $25. I get 50% of everything across the board. as long as they stay subscribed to you.
Yeah, Rachel knows a lot about JVZoo.
I used to work for them at JVZoo for a little while, and you know, the interesting thing about JVZoo, you guys who are listening, is, or just affiliate marketing in general, whatever, however you get in, there's people making some serious money with it. Yeah. And it sounds really simple. It's not really simple.
It's in the list.
It's simple. It's not easy. Let's just say, like anything.
And you're going to spend money to get there, though.
Yeah, that's it takes time, but it's actually a great, you know, in today's world, it's a great way to, if ever we are stuck in a similar pandemic, if you start like checking out what Scott's talking about and start figuring it out, then you can, it doesn't matter if you're stuck at home. Because you can be making money online.
I mean, I did, and again, I'm not trying to toot in the horn. I did 5 figures last month in affiliate marketing alone. And again, a lot of it is just because, like, you had that product, Rachel, and I, you know, you're keeping them in your subscriber list, you know, your coaching program or whatnot. And there's a lot of these, I don't want to call them wannabes because I respect anybody that flexes their hustle muscle and gets out there and does it. Like these Instagrammers that have 30,000 followers and stuff, you know, whatnot. But they're struggling because they're not making any money with it. They're getting the likes and stuff. But I reached out to one the other day and I was like, listen, man, I'll give you $100 right now. I'll Venmo it to you. Here, I want you to put this post on to your Instagram followers. I need you to, you know, put it on for 24 hours. You know, on your story. And I got for $100, I got 25 opt-ins.
Oh, yeah.
So they went to my list. You know what I'm saying? So now they're on my list. They're getting incubated and working their way through. And I'm eventually segmented out to what works for them. Again, they might need a coach. They might need improv. They might need something else. And that's going to be different campaigns that are going to be run. I haven't even got into the campaigns that I'm going to be starting for my podcast interviews. You know, so
I think we have found our post show conversation.
Yeah.
Scott teaches us how to do it.
It's not that easy, trust me. But would you say, Scott, that the thing that really probably makes you successful with it is that everyone on your list trusts that you're not going to market to them a bunch of bullshit, that they know if you send them and say, hey, I checked this out and it's cool, that they trust you, right?
Oh, so absolutely. I'm glad you said that.
It's not like trust. It's not like you're feeding every fucking widget that you see. It's
right. There's affiliate marketers out there that do that junk.
Well, that's why I bring that up. That, you know, it's not that you just find every product to promote. You like, that's why Scott has a big backlog in his other room, is that he wants to take time. He's not going to market to his list some shit, because if you do that, you lose the people on your list. They're like, well, this is some bogus shit. I'm out. And they'll opt out. So it's very valuable, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 100%. Now, don't get me wrong. I do have some top affiliate marketers where all they do is they put together these $10 products and they reach out to me and they say, hey, man, we would love you to market this as, like, again, my first initial time is like, I go after people that want to learn how to make their first dollar online. So I'll use that JVZoo, that Warrior Plus, that ClickBank product at the start, but then I incubate them into higher ticket products, but I'm not selling in every email. Like if you look at my podcast interviews, there's nothing being sold. Now, if someone wrote a book, I'll put the link to the book in there and I might make 50 cents on an Amazon sale, but still it's affiliate marketing. You know, because I put my own link in there. But yeah, it's about the know, like, and trust, like you said. You know, I mean, I've had like things as small as like $10 items to, I had a mountain bike that was delivered to me. They're like, here's a mountain bike. And I don't ride bikes, but they're like, hey, you know, it's a $3,200 mountain bike. And we'll, if you sell, you know, get it on your list, do a review, you know, and show us that you put it out to the list and how many clicks, blah, blah, blah. We'll let you sell it for 24 hours at like $2,100 or something like that. So I go to this little place here and I'm riding the mountain bike around and I don't know. I barely can ride a bike, but these guys that were riding a bike were like, dude, that bike's not even out yet. It's not even out yet. I'm like, really? I'm like, hey, how about you wear my GoPro on your helmet and go do jumps and ride it? And so they rode it, took it back, came home, did a real quick product review, sent it out to my list, found out who would be interested in mountain biking. And then I took that video and sent it out to the people that were just interested in mountain biking and said, oh my God, they can get this bike for $2,100, not even on the market yet. So anyways, I sold like 24 bikes at the, they paid me a commission of $495 or $500 a piece. Nicely just like that. Done. Boom. And then I took that bike that they sent me and I sold it to the guy that did the demo for $1,500. So I got it out of my, my condo's not that big. So it's like, I got it out of my place. So yeah. So it's like things can really happen, but you, the biggest thing is you have to grow that list. You have to grow it wanting to give a lot away for free. Like Gary Vaynerchuk says, jab, 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 right hook. You know, that's actually how you should do. Give, 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 give. And like you can slide little things like, you know, I teach you how to get hosting for your website through HostGator. Hey, or go to HostGator and get, you know, a discount if you're really serious about building what. And HostGator pays me like, you know, $4 a month for every subscriber that they get that I send them. So I'm not selling you. Go to HostGator, be like, this is what I use. I do a product video. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, I love it. Let's do, let's use HostGator, you know? And
yeah.
And I get paid. So
for everybody who's going, oh my God, overwhelm. And I, you know, Gina, to your point, after the show, maybe we can talk about how to start. How to get started.
I think that is an overwhelm for a lot of people. How to, and I love the flexing your hustle muscle. So
I got that from Lewis House.
So maybe we could talk about that in the post show. But it's almost time to wrap up. And I know I was having some technical technical difficulties and I missed some stuff. But would you say that the affiliate marketing, or is there something else that helped you be in the position you are so that during this current pandemic and crisis that helped you build your muscle to not end up in the same place you were during the recession?
I grind every day in a state of fear, but it's not a fear that paralyzes me. It's a state of fear. It's like, dude, I do not, you know, this company or this country is going to have, and I'm not getting political here. It's going to be a have or have not country. Right. And it always has been like, but the middle class is kind of disappearing. So it's like, I live in that state of fear every day. It's like, dude, I don't want to be taking any assistance. I didn't have to take the stimulus. I didn't even ask for it. And I'm not saying that to toot my horn, but it was like, dude, I'm blessed to have listened to my mentors and coaches and did what they told me to do to put myself in the position, you know? But hey, let me see if I'm able to do this. I'm going to share this for like 30 seconds with people. Sure. And if they want to screenshot it, that's fine. But this one I'm about to show you is a ton of neuro-linguistic programming in it. And Every time I send it out to get emails from people with huge lists, when I buy the emails from them, this is what I use. So, host disabled. Can you allow
Hold on. Let me do that.
It's just like a gift, if you will, but like people can screenshot if they want to, if they're watching this.
Totally poised to screenshot this shit right now.
And it's super simple. You're going to be like, really?
Well, simple is so hard, isn't it, Scott? Right.
Yeah.
Simple is so challenging for people. And I'm the same. Like I'll overthink the shit out of stuff. And you've got me thinking, like I worked for JVZoo for a good solid over a year, and I basically had to learn all the stuff. Mm-hmm. And am I utilizing it to its best advantage? No. And you think after this, I'm not going to go revisit that? Fucking I'm going to, for sure.
That's why I said, I'm like, okay, no, seriously. I'm like, I know you don't know who this guy is. Okay, and I always come to you with stuff. I'm like, but we need to have him on the show.
I'm going to share it right now. Okay. Ready? Okay.
He's like,
this is legitly what I send out to people. Again, remember, the people I'm going after are looking to make money online. And then I incubate them into the time to shine family of, we want no one. We don't want anyone to have no one. So basically, right. I use this. And if you look at it, simple two-step formula earns me. So you got that in a time. This is weird. So it plays to like their, you know, yeah, right, kind of, but it works. And then they just put it in there. And so they send in, you don't have to put your name in, but your email address is there. And any emails that I send out to them, it's never has their name in it anyways.
You know what I really like about that, Scott, is I've seen a lot of these. And you're not making a promise that's ridiculous.
Right.
You're not telling somebody they're going to make $1 million in a week. You're not telling somebody they're going to make $5,000 in a day. You're saying $150 in 12 hours. In a more creative way with that 146. I see what you're doing there. But like that is not it's not unrealistic for somebody to be able to do that, because some people work for friggin' 8 hours and make like $50, you know.
Dude, I'll tell you what, wage. The reason why I put 146.72, because that's what I made. Literally, I followed a gentleman, his name is Brendan Mace, and he's kind of untouchable now because he's huge in the affiliate marketing. But I hired him as a personal coach for affiliate marketing, so I can kind of reach out to him and be like, hey, what do you think about this? And I do rep his products if he sends something out for my initial email. But when I first bought my first solo ad, which I talked to you about with the people that have the huge list, and I bought it, I made $146 my first day. Like legit, like I made that my very first email that I had ever sent. And like, you don't make that every time, but I did that in my very first one. It was, mm-hmm. It was just like that. It was like done. So I was like, man, there's some magic to this. But Brendan's like, don't get excited. You have to keep buying emails, you know? And when I buy the emails too, is another product that I use. It's called Click Magic. And so when I send this link out, it's not just the link that you saw in the URL. It's actually coded with Click Magic, which costs like $12 a month. And when people, so if I was like, Rachel, okay, send this out. I want tier one countries, which means I want only people that have credit cards. I'm talking North America, Australia, UK, not Bangladesh, not parts of South America that don't. You're only sending in Click Magic will tell me where that click came from. So if I bought 100 clicks from you, and I have all these opt-ins, I see most of them are from third world countries, it's bullshit. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? It's like, and then I'll just go all over the, you know, the forums, I guess, whatever they're called now, they used to be called forums, and just be like, this is shit. They are all from Bangladesh, or they're tier three countries, where it's, if they're tier
incredible.
One.
It's incredible. It's incredible the scams that come out, like yeah. some of the stuff, like it's just like, I couldn't believe it when I was, you know, dipping my, I was really like executive assistant over at JVZoo, but I couldn't believe what these scammers came up with. It's crazy. Well, nuts, like, man. What? Yeah. Yeah. But that's a whole nother tangent.
Yeah.
It's shall fun. We, shall we, we'll talk more about this in the post show, which sure. you guys, if you're listening, you can join our Patreon page and get the post show. But Gina, you want to move on to our signature question?
Yeah. So again, listeners, Warners, join our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/Warners. And that's where you can get all of this bonus stuff, including all the raw footage of what we do and these special extra shows, which we're going to dig deeper into Scott's brain in the bonus
not
show.
Not for too long, but for
not for bit. Too long. Just
I, some of us have our phones ringing off the hook over here.
I know. Mine too is distracting me once again. But before we do that, we have a couple signature questions for you that, mm-hmm. you know, like your rapid fire questions, which by the way, when I was on your show threw me like, I was like, and he like literally is like, you only have 1 second to answer that. We'll give you a little more grace than that. So we want to know, how, since our show is the show that makes business sexy again, how do you, Fergie, define sexy?
Sexy. That's a good question. I don't know. Like Gina and Rachel? Is that a good definition?
Whatever comes to mind. Sometimes. Whatever comes to mind.
No, you know what? Sexy would just be fun. You know, uninhibited, you know,
there's a bonus word,
guilt free. Just, I don't know, non-judgmental. Like a lot of people put judgment on the word sexy. Me, I don't.
Yeah.
It's like, it's what people, you know, it's all, we're all primal. We all have that. So
yes, you and I have talked about that before.
Yeah, it's a fun conversation.
Scott
I like
is,
uninhibited. That rings true for me. I like that.
Uninhibited. Yeah. You know what I also love, Rachel, is that he brought up the non-judgment word. That's a word that came up on our meditation podcast, if right. you recall.
Not really, because I was pissed.
Did she have RBF all day during the?
She had RBF half the time.
This actually helped me. If you guys are listening to this podcast right now, then go listen to that meditation podcast, because at the moment I was pissy, but the rest of the day I did. And it's, to the credit of Meryl and the benefits of meditation, it helped me manage the rest of the day better.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that was ripe bitch form.
Yeah. So those are good words for sexy. Good definition. Best advice you've been given by a woman or a man?
Best advice I've ever been given would be from Matthew McConaughey. Get busy. L-I-V-I-N. Live. Just live, man.
I love
it. You know what? You know what? Another movie that I saw, which is a underrated comedy, Van Wilder, back in the early 2000s with Ryan Reynolds, one of his first movies. You know, he said, "Don't take life too seriously. You'll never make it out alive." That's how I do. You know, I don't. Again, if I'm not pissing you off, disrespecting you, I don't give a shit what you think about me. I'm going to go out and have as much fun as I can in any way, shape, or form.
Do you see why he fits in with us, Rachel?
Trip to South Beach.
Okay, exactly. Now I need to know, did you get that advice from McConaughey in person or from the movie?
From Dazed and Confused.
All right. Oh, I was hoping it was in person because then, yeah.
No, I never met Matthew, but
he's one of my crushes.
He's your man, huh? No,
he's one of my crushes.
He's kind of he's very it seems to me following him, he just got on Instagram very recently, mm-hmm. and he seems like a very, even though he's very extroverted on film, like a lot of actors and you know, people like that, he seems very introverted actually as a human.
Yeah.
His
story about like how he's discovered by Richard Linklater, whatever his name is, at a bar. He was bartending. They're like, "Hey, man, we got a couple lines in a movie if you want to come." And he's like, "Yeah." And then he has some of the funniest lines ever in like a 1970s genre where he's like, "You know, one thing I like about high school girls is I keep getting older and they all stay the same age."
It's the best movie. Gina, if you haven't seen that movie, you need to watch it tonight. Oh, my God.
Dazed and Confused is one of my favorite movies of all time. And there's huge stars in it, too. Not only McConaughey, who was a nobody, nobody knew, but Ben Affleck was in it. You know, it's
really worth watching.
Oh my gosh.
All right. I watched that this
you weekend. Have to watch Do it. Watch it's it this weekend. One of the best movies, and I probably watch it 2 times a year just because I want to, you know.
My favorite line of that is when he's like, "Hey man, did you bring a joint?" And he's like, "No." And he's like, "Be a lot cooler if you did."
Yeah, if you did.
So that was good. Awesome. So good.
Okay. Last question. All right. Last question. Advice you wish you had been given?
That there's help no matter what out there. That it took me a while to seek it. You know, again, like I said, I was brought up in sports and I'd always kind of look for help if it had to do with competition all the time, but not with competition over myself and my feelings. So don't be afraid to get your asking gear and ask for whatever, you know, just make sure that the people you're asking are know what the hell they're talking about. You know, people will be like, "Here's a doobie, you know, this will take care of everything." You know,
you and I had like kind of a similar thing. Cause that was, I think you had asked me about my 22 year old self, what I've done differently. Mm-hmm. And that was to ask for help, get mentors to help, which I think is a really great theme and a reminder. So it is time for us to wrap up and then get you into a private room alone with us. Yeah. So thank you so much for being on the show with us. It was super fun and sexy and sassy and informative. Yeah. So thanks for that. If our listeners want to connect with you, what's the best way to do that?
I would say just go to timetoshinetoday.com. And just under, like, it's really podcast driven website. You know, I don't do too many blogs or anything like that. It's just, but the timetoshinetoday.com/podcast will be great because you get free mastermind knowledge nuggets. Like, you see the one that I dropped yesterday from Chris Widener.
Yeah.
You know, he's the guy that wrote The Art of Influence. He speaks, he's a top 50 speaker in the whole wide world. For me to land him was kind of like a, oh, cool, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the knowledge nuggets, I re-listened to it. I was like, holy shit. He just gave away free stuff. And so on Time to Shine Today, everything, and like when we bring on Tremarco's, you know, episode, the stuff that, you know, that she laid out there as well, you know, people can mastermind stuff free, period. Yep. You know, so that's what's there.
I love Gina's shit. She's got some good shit.
I can't wait
for it to be in the book.
Shut up. I know.
When are you guys writing a book?
She's working on it. I have a book. Okay. I have a book. Mine's my first book, but I keep hounding her because I know my book was like, just get a book
done.
Gina has got a really
Great book. Scott gave me a great idea because Scott's working on a book and it's a business parable, which I never even considered. That's a whole nother topic of how to do a book a little bit differently. It's taking it and turning it into more of a story based on.
I basically took my whole story that I told you guys and turned it into a different name, different thing. And like the basis of my book, real quick, is just like this guy loses a huge real estate commission. You know, he's in his 40s. He's about ready to walk away from the business. His broker is a millennial young guy, but his dad is like a really big deal that people would go to, and he charges like freaking $10,000 for his time and blah, blah, blah. And so the millennial's like, hey man, you know, my dad can set up 5 people for you to talk to if you got the time to meet with them. And so there's, you know, it's the name of it's Level Up. It's Your Time to Shine. You know, volume 1, you know. Can't and wait. And his name's Travis Fuqua. He's from Detroit, Michigan. His father was a Canadian, hence the Fuqua. And then his mom was from a city called Dearborn, Michigan. And, you know, he was raised there. And, you know, his father.
Fuqua, is that a real French term or just a name that you made up?
It's kind of like a fuck you, but don't tell anybody that.
I thought it was. That's what I was thinking.
But don't say anything to anybody. It's kind of like a
secret, you know, is safe with us.
Yeah. So, but yeah, there's just 5 different, like if you go to any of my podcasts, my first 30 were just me regurgitating stuff from freaking Bob Berg, Robin Sharma, freaking Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, and putting in my own words like everybody else does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and so I was able to take the transcripts from that and then just build storylines, you know, content sequences, you know, arcs and shit like that, and just built that in and started writing it. And I've been sending transcripts to people that have sold millions of copies, like Bob Berg, Chris Widener, and they've been kind of reading it. Say, hey, tweak this, do that. So it's pretty cool that I have those people. And again, I got them on my podcast.
And I hear Bob Berg lives down the street from you.
Yeah, he lives six or seven houses down.
That's okay. So, that's what Casey Hasten.
But he's in Admiral's Cove, and I'm in Prosperity Farm. So it's like it's a step up. he's awesome though.
Well, maybe you can.
What's that?
Maybe you can introduce us to Bob.
Oh, absolutely, no problem. That's easy.
Great. Great to have him on the show.
Oh yeah, that's easy.
So,
Warner, you know, he's a little different. Like he's really kind of like the Jason Bateman, like where he's a real straight guy. Uh-huh. But once you ask him the right questions, he gets funny. Okay. Like how Jason Bateman's my favorite straight actor.
I love,
like, Jason, you know, he's the straight Bateman guy. You know, but he's funny. Yeah.
Oh my god, on Ozark, I'm dying. Anyway, Ozark
or Horrible Bosses, how he's like the guy that's all serious, but the stuff he says is
funny. I love him. So, Warners, you do need to check out his podcast. We didn't get a chance to talk a lot about it, but it's a really awesome podcast. I love the way you do it. It's short and it's quick, but it's packed with information, and you've been super successful at it. Rachel and I would love to even learn more from you. Maybe we'll talk about that in the private room with you. So thanks again for being on the show with us. And thanks to all of our Warners for listening today to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About.
Thanks for having me on, ladies.
You're welcome. To connect with me, Gina Tremarco, directly, you can go to womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com, or you can find me at ginatremarco.com, which will lead you to all paths.
All paths lead to Gina. To find me, you can find me all over social media as The Singing Lender and the website of the same name. And you can find all of our social media links and information about Keith Walters and some cool free downloads at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
And hey, if you liked the show, share the love and share it with someone, especially right now. Maybe there's something that can come out of this show that can resonate with someone. So share it. Of course, we love ratings and reviews, but we would like you to share it more than anything. And remember, keep on keeping it sexy, Warners, for the best relationships. Keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.